Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace. Psalm 12, 6. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 7. Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 73, 26. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 5 and 6. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6. You may wonder why we have these verses. We're emphasizing the fact that Jesus is found in every book of the Old Testament. We're aware of the fact that Jesus is found in every book of the Bible. Also, we are aware of the fact that you and I have the responsibility of realizing that the reason for Jesus being presented is that it is the gospel of salvation. And so the emphasis here then is Jesus, the gospel, clearly declared in the Old Testament times. And for that reason, we are going to plunge tonight into the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. We'll be beginning verse 1 in our reading, but emphasizing verses 5 and 6. So I wanted you to have that on your mind and open your Bibles to that passage of Scripture. Before we begin our reading and our study, may we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice tonight in the fact that we realize how great and wonderful God's Word is and how fantastic it is for us on a day-by-day basis to open our eyes and look upon these magnificent verses. We realize that the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility of focusing our minds and hearts upon these truths, taking them into our lives in such a manner that we'll be able to live a victorious, triumphant, abundant life. We're thankful indeed for Jesus, for the fact that we have Jesus on every page of the Word of God, and the fact that this Bible presents the wonderful plan of salvation, realizing that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. We're thankful indeed for salvation, grace. We are thankful for experiential living grace. We're thankful that You've given us the opportunity to be aware of the fact that one day we'll leave this life by means of dying grace. And so we pause to express our thanks again tonight for Your magnificent provisions for us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Most of you are aware of the fact that the prophet Isaiah was used of God to present a magnificent message about 600 or 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene as the God-man. What is amazing to me is to be able to see that the Bible presents to us the opportunity of seeing that the gospel of salvation is presented all the way through from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to the last verse of the book of Revelation. Most of us are aware of the fact that over the last weeks, we've taken a look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We went down to word 1, word 2, word 3, and when we got to word 4, we discovered that it was not actually a word at all. It was two letters, the first and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And we understand that over in the New Testament, Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. When you get to that fourth word in the Genesis 1:1 passage, you will discover that it is the first and last letter of the Hebrew language, where Jesus again is saying there, and actually there we see it for the first time, I am the beginning, and I am the end, and I'm everything in between. So we have then an emphasis upon the fact that Jesus is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We go down to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and we have the proclamation and prophecy of the virgin conception and the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to repeat all my messages for the book of Genesis, but I want you to know that when we got into the book of Exodus, we found a lot of magnificent things. I'm not going to repeat those. They're over here. I just showed you. They weigh a ton. But anyway, there's a lot of information that has been given, related to the book of Exodus. Next Sunday, we're going to be beginning the book of Leviticus. And I just wanted to mention to you that we have a tremendous amount of information about Jesus in the book of Leviticus. For instance, in chapter 1, we have the burnt offering. In chapter 2, we have the grain offering. In chapter 3, we have the peace offering. In chapters 4 and 5, we have the sin and trespass offerings. So what we do when we look at the first chapters of the book of Leviticus, in chapter 1, we have all I am is Christ. In chapter 2, all I have is Christ. Chapter 3, all my joy is in Christ. And chapters 4 and 5, all my salvation, the totality of my salvation, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. All I'm trying to do is to tell you that we're looking forward to seeing it, the message of salvation presented in the book of Leviticus, specifically in the Levitical offerings. We'll also see some other things, the various feasts. We have a lot of information that we will enjoy in coming days from the book of Leviticus. Now, the reason why I'm pausing in the middle of these presentations to show you that we have to understand that Jesus, the gospel, is clearly declared in Old Testament times. So I'm going to give you some information tonight, do it quickly so that we can be able to listen to the wonderful information relative to taking Bibles to Asia. But right now, we're going to pick up our reading in just a few moments with Isaiah 53, verse 1. Jesus, gospel, clearly declared in Old Testament times. You might want to write that title somewhere, because throughout the presentation tonight, we're going to be able to see that Jesus Christ and the gospel of salvation is found actually on every page of the wonderful Word of God. We find Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 53, verse 1, says, "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him." I'm sure that you're able to see that while I'm reading this, here we find the prophet Isaiah, some 600 or 700 years before Jesus Christ came on the scene as the God-man, and he's describing the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a fantastic passage indeed. "Surely," verse 4, "our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Now the verses I want you to see, verses 5 and 6. "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourgings we are healed." Then verse 6, and all of us have memorized this. "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him." What I'm trying to do is to reveal to you tonight that Jesus Christ is found in every page of the wonderful Word of God. Number one, there never was a time, there never will be a time, when God is not saving mankind. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, we discover that the Scripture emphasizes the fact that Jesus Christ is the answer. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to turn to Romans 6, 23, and 10:13. And what does it say? Does anyone have it that you can quote it for me? What does it say? Romans 10, 13. I'm waiting for you. Romans 10, 13. Now, I know that you need to use your Bible, and this is helping me to see that you're not turning to the pages very rapidly. What is Romans 10, 13? Okay. Okay, very good. Okay, now if you will, please turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And what does it say? I'll give you time to look it up. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Let me repeat one. There never was a time, there never will be a time when God is not saving mankind. Beautifully presented to us in Romans 10, 13 and 2 Peter 3, 9. Let me repeat something that you probably missed as I read it or just gave it a few moments ago. The Lord is not slack, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I would encourage you to write that verse somewhere, because it reminds us again that there never was a time and there never will be a time when God is not saving mankind. Number two, the gospel was clearly declared and presented in the Old Testament times as revealed to us in the New Testament. And I'm going to ask you now to follow me on the verses that you have on the screen. First of all, we go to the book of Romans, and we discover that in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, there's an emphasis upon the fact that salvation was presented in the Old Testament. And I'm looking now at Romans chapter 1, and I find the Apostle Paul, a bondservant of Christ, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. If you'll notice, we're in Romans chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is telling us that the Word of God has been promised beforehand, verse 2 of Romans 1, through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, what I'm trying to do is to let you see that God is telling us through the Apostle Paul that the message of salvation, the message of Jesus Christ, was presented in the prophets concerning, verse 3, his son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. All that you're able to see there is, and I've given it to you on the screen, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. What we have is that the gospel is clearly declared in the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul tells us that that is the case. Now, if you will go, if you please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to be looking now at verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul now to the Corinthian believers said, I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. What I'm trying to do is to present to you, and you can write these verses down, the Apostle Paul is telling us that the gospel was clearly declared in Old Testament times. Romans 1, 1 through 4, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Now I'm going to encourage you to turn to the book of Acts, and let's look at chapter 3. And we're going to go down to verse 18. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. This is your time to do a Bible study in a Bible references in chapter 3 of Acts, verse 18. But the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, notice what is there. The things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ should suffer, he has thus fulfilled. What is interesting here, and you can see it, that Peter is telling us that there's an emphasis upon the fact that the Old Testament presented the plan of salvation and that Jesus Christ was to die, to be buried, to come forth out of the grave, to ascend, to sit at the Father's right hand. Now notice again, here in Acts chapter 3, verse 18. But the things which God announced beforehand by means of the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ should suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Now, if you will please, let's continue to look at number two. The gospel was clearly declared in Old Testament times as presented to us in the references in the New Testament of Romans 1, 1 through 4, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, and Acts chapter 3, verse 18. The passage that we have now in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6, has exactly the same boundaries as we find in 1 Corinthians and in the writings of Paul to various other places like Rome. So we have then that the passage in Isaiah 53, our passages for tonight, has exactly the same boundaries as are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. I'm going to ask you to look at that passage of Scripture. In verse 1 of 15, 1 Corinthians, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved." Then look at verse 3. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." What I'm trying to do is to reiterate, recapitulate, present to you the fact that the Isaiah passage is telling us that the same boundaries related to what Jesus Christ has done has been presented to us in the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, right on down the line. Now, let's move to another point. Regardless of the age, number three, regardless of the age or the dispensation, man is always saved in the same manner. I want you to be sure that you understand what we have here. Regardless of age or dispensation, man is always saved in the same manner. The question is, what manner? And I put it down here for you, positive choice, volition, to the gospel expressed in a non-meritorious way, which simply says, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We find that in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, an emphasis again upon the fact that salvation comes by faith alone in Christ alone. Roman numeral 4. Positive choice, volition, existed in Old Testament time, both at the point of God consciousness and the point of gospel hearing. Now let's be sure that we see this. Positive volition, perception, existed in Old Testament times, both at the point of God consciousness and the point of gospel hearing. Two things are presented there. You can see God consciousness, God awareness, and you can see the presentation of the gospel of salvation. This is revealed to us in Exodus chapter 33, verse 7, and in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Roman numeral 5. While revelation from God is progressive, reaching its peak with the New Testament scriptures, it has always been, nevertheless, sufficient for the salvation of souls at various and all periods of time. Let's see what we are saying here. Analyze it along with me so you can comprehend. Revelation from God is progressive, reaching its peak with the New Testament scriptures, but it has always been, nevertheless, sufficient for the salvation of souls at all periods of time. What we said in point one, there never was a time in history when a person could not believe and know the Lord Jesus Christ. Roman numeral 6. The object of faith is salvation. The object of faith in salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've said this many times, and I repeat this evening. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. What have I just said? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. I didn't say believe. I didn't say just believe anything you wanted to. I'm quoting the verse of Scripture that says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. In other words, the object of faith is the person of Jesus Christ. There's only one way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. There's no other way of salvation. Salvation is not joining the church. Salvation is not trying to be good. Salvation is not trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Salvation is not dependent upon some church ritual. Salvation is the object of faith is Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The object of faith in salvation then, as revealed in Galatians 3:26, is Jesus Christ. However, the revelation concerning Christ varies in different ages. We're talking about the same faith in Christ, but the different dispensations, different times, we discover that things were presented in somewhat of an unusual and different way. But the object of faith has always been the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. Roman number 7. Jesus Christ was first revealed as Savior at the time of man's fall. We've said this tonight in preceding statements. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, which is the presentation of the prophecy of the virgin conception and the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the words that are used there, seed of the woman. Jesus Christ was first revealed as Savior at the time of man's fall, Genesis 3:15. He's represented as the seed of the woman. We've already talked about that, so we're not repeating that information now. Roman numeral 8. Jesus Christ is usually revealed in the Old Testament by shadows. What I'm trying to say, and I want you to get it more clearly in your thinking, that throughout the Old Testament, we find that Jesus is presented in various ways. And in the Old Testament, we discover that oftentimes, Jesus Christ is presented to us by way of shadows. In some points, let me show you what I'm saying. For example, in the tabernacle, in the feast, for instance, in the modus operandi of the Levitical priest. We'll be talking about some of this next week. Another means of revealing Christ was through inanimate revelation. That is, through things in nature, like the burning bush, the rock, the Shekinah glory. So I pause for a moment to let you see that I'm trying to present how the Lord Jesus Christ was presented in various ways in the Old Testament. For example, I repeat, in the tabernacle, we could go through a long discussion. Many of our children have already studied the tabernacle and all the many facets related to it. But we have Jesus Christ being presented in the tabernacle, in the feast, in the various Levitical priests. Another means of revealing Christ was through the things like the burning bush, the rock, the Shekinah glory, or through typology, for instance. When I say typology, I mean things like furniture in the tabernacle. You find this in the book of Numbers, chapter 17, verse 7. We may get into that some in the future when we get to the book of Numbers. The mercy seat, the helesterion is the Greek word that is used there, was the place of propitiation in the Holy of Holies, and we'll be studying that some. The Levitical offerings were witnessing by ritual. The burnt offerings taught propitiation. May I stop for a moment and tell you that the word propitiation is a word we throw around a lot, but what does it mean? The word propitiation means satisfaction. It emphasizes the fact that when the Lord Jesus Christ died and was buried, came forth out of the grave and ascended to sit at the Father's right hand, at that point of time, God the Heavenly Father was propitiated. He was satisfied with the total work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So the burnt offerings taught propitiation with emphasis on the Word of Christ, the Lamb of God. When you get into the Old Testament, you'll discover also that the meal and the fruit offerings reveal the person of Christ, and they reveal the person of Christ on the cross. The peace offering taught about the barrier between God and man being removed. Most of us have analyzed this over the years, and I'm giving you now a quick overview of some of the things that we need to see. The peace offering taught about the barrier between God and man being removed. Jesus Christ gave himself totally. He died. He was buried. He came forth out of the grave. How many times do I need to say this? I'm trying to tell you that that's the message that's presented from the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the last verse of the book of Revelation. I'm trying to get over the fact that the Bible presents the plan of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. The peace offering taught about the barrier between God and man being removed. And subpoint 4, the gospel was presented in the Old Testament directly in theological teaching. And that's the reason why tonight I've come to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 was straight doctrinal teaching, which shows us that Christ carried our guilt as well as our sins. It's amazing to me when I sit and study and find so many things, and I'm just continually overwhelmed by what I'm seeing from the Word of God. I see Jesus on every page of the Word of God, and I want you to be able to see that too. And so I cannot give you all the various details of every book, like the book of Genesis, and go through chapter by chapter. Cannot do that. Going into the book of Exodus, I cannot go through every page of every chapter and talk about it, but I want you to just get a mental picture of the fact that we see Jesus in every book of the Bible. Some of you may be aware that there's a guy that's on the radio by the name of Rush Limbaugh. That may be some familiar name with you, but what I want you to know that is that he has a brother who's a lawyer, who was a skeptic, and who began a search and found the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He's written a book, and that book deals with, it's amazing, Jesus in every book of the Bible. I just wanted to tell you that. You might want to get that book and read it. I'm going to get it. And I want you to see that the peace offering taught about the barrier between God and man being removed. And the gospel was presented in the Old Testament directly in theological teaching. And Isaiah 53 was straight biblical teachings which show that the Lord Jesus Christ carried our guilt as well as our sins. I'm rushing tonight, number 9. Once the reality has come, we have the New Testament, which is historical Christology. Christology simply means the study of Christ. Theology simply means the study of God. Theos, study of God. Once the reality has come, we now have the completed canon of Scripture. which is historical Christology. You may not realize how grateful you ought to be that you have this magnificent book. Tracy can tell you that he's discovered that there are people who are hungry for this book and who do not have it. That's the reason for taking the Bible to various places around the world. You and I have Bibles everywhere. We have them on the shelves. We have them in our car. We have them in various places in our home. Oftentimes, we don't have respect, as we should, I believe, for the Word of God. I'm continually amazed as I look back upon the life of my father-in-law. I would notice that if he had a hat on and came in the house and the Bible was there, he would never take his hat and place it on the Bible. In other words, he had a tremendous respect for the Word of God. I realized that because I study God's Word every day and I utilize Bibles that we have from my father-in-law, and I discovered that he has read the Bible through, and he left a little note on one of the Bibles that I'm studying. It says, "I've completed my reading through the Bible for the second time of this year," and then he has the date of the particular year that he read the Bible through. All I'm trying to tell you is that we must be appreciative of the fact that God is good to us to give us and let us have the completed canon of Scripture. Once the reality has come, we have the New Testament, the completed canon of Scripture, which is historical Christology. And number 10, according to Isaiah 55:6, you'll notice that the emphasis of Isaiah 55:6 is that salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." You talk about something wonderful. Jesus Christ is found in every book of the Old Testament, every book of the Bible. And you've taken a look tonight with me at a passage of Scripture in Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, which presents to us that Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth and go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. I'm going to ask that we close our service tonight with prayer, but I want you to stay with me. And if someone will go get the children, bring them in. John, if you'll come and get the mic and put it here at the front, turn it on. We'll let Tracy comes to the front. You're thinking about various questions, and you're going to ask him, and he's going to be able to share with us some good news. Let's pray together first. Father, we're thankful for the time we have together. We thank you for Tracy and the time he was able to go and deliver Bibles to these various places. We're anxious to hear the report tonight. We pray that you will continue to bless him, the ministry that he has, with this particular wonderful opportunity of presenting the gospel to various places around the world. We pray that you will guide and bless Don and Joy Fueling in their ministry. We thank you over and over for every blessing that you took Tracy safely there and back, and we are thankful for him and the ministry that has been accomplished. Bless us in these moments now as we hear this report. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My soul thirsts for you, and my my flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, my soul clings to